Oh, I swore I saw a two-headed monster back there, but I guess it wasn't. Good group. We had a great week, and I want, along with the rest of those that have thanked you for helping out, I want to thank you also. And we've bathed that in prayer from the start, and I think someone would say God showed up and showed out. He always does when we get to everything lined up with Him. I don't think it's some kind of magic potion or saying the right thing, or but also I think that we have to align our hearts up with Him. And I think we were able to do that, and I know we've already bragged on the teenagers, but I'll tell you, they're a great group. I was visiting with someone this week about that, and we talked about that our group is fairly young. We have a few older ones in the group, but for the most part, we have a pretty young group. And I'm telling you, they knocked it out of the ballpark this week. They did a fantastic job, and I'm thrilled. You know, I was a little concerned about having enough workers, and I got to looking at that group that was standing behind me at the campfire, and that's a pretty good size group of them, and we had a great time. If you missed out on that, I can tell you what you can do. We're going to have another one next year, and you can start planning your vacation around that and your time off, and you'll be able to be involved in that yourself. I want to pray for Miss Marlene's family. Miss Marlene lost a sister yesterday, and she didn't lose her. She knows where she's at, but she passed away, and so please be in prayer for that family, Swalford family, and keep that family lifted up to the Lord. My niece passed away yesterday morning, Janet. We've prayed for her some here, and pray for her mom and dad and her children, her grandchildren, her husband. And pray for me Tuesday morning, please, especially at 10 o'clock. I'm going to preach that funeral. And my brother asked me if I thought I could, and I agreed to it. And, you know, I think I told someone it's like baptizing in cold weather in the creek. You kind of charge yourself up for it, and you can do it. But I need your prayers desperately. There'll be people there that'll need to hear the gospel. And I pray that the Lord will give me great liberty to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and how He can change your life. And folks, you and I, Janet was 54 years old. You and I, many of you that are sitting here under the sound of my voice, are older than that or around that age. You and I do not have any promise of tomorrow. If there's something you need to do, you need to get her done now. That's country, I know, but you need to get it done. If there's someone you need to speak to, get it done. Someone you need to thank or to clear the air with, you need to get that done. Because you may not have tomorrow to do that. I was listening to Chuck Swindoll's wife give a testimony this past week, well, week before last now. Everything is a blur up until last week. But week before last now, I was listening to Chuck Swindoll, and I listened to his wife give a testimony. And she had a lot of people in her life that she needed to clear things up with. She'd gone through a real depression time in her life for several years, matter of fact, and she held a bitterness against some people that was probably not their fault, but her fault, and she come to realize that. She thought all these people were out against her, and she had to go to some and ask their forgiveness and apologize for the way that she had treated them, and her mother-in-law was one of those. They met. She apologized to her and asked her forgiveness. They embraced and cleared the air, and she died the next day. We don't know that, so I want to urge you to do that. I want to urge you to clear the air if you need to clear the air, or to say I appreciate you or whatever. I'd made that statement at a funeral in Tuckerman a few years ago that I preached, and there was a young man that was directing, was the director of the funeral home, one of the directors of the funeral home, and his name was Franklin. And Franklin and Eugene grew up next door to us. They had a terrible home life, and Frank had turned out good. He trusted the Lord. He'd gone to camp with us a number of times, and he was a hugger. His dad was killed in a truck accident when he was very, very young, and he grew up without a father, and the father images that he had in his home were awful. But he went to church with camp with us, no telling how many times. And I remember one time in particular, we were standing down by the chapel. It was at Imboden. And old Frank could just hang on to you. And anyway, he came up, and he just got a hold of me, and I got a hold of him. And we just standing there hugging one another. And I was talking to someone, and old Frank just had me wrapped up. And I said, "Frank, when you get big, when you grow up," I said, "will you still come up to me and hug me?" And he said, "I'll still come up to you, but I won't hug you." Well, I got out of my car in the funeral home parking lot, and he walked up with a suit on, and I recognized him, and he went against his word. He just wrapped me up. And after the funeral, he said, "Brother Lanny, you said if we needed to say something to someone," he said, "we need to get it done." He said, "I don't know what me and my brother would have done if y'all hadn't lived next door to us." He said it made a tremendous difference in our life. They were almost too social. We didn't lock our doors. I woke up one Saturday morning and I heard the TV going early. And the girls didn't usually get up very early. I thought, this is kind of unusual. I got out of bed and walked in the living room. Frank and Eugene was laying in the floor in the living room watching cartoons on TV. I asked him about his brother Eugene, and he just said, "You don't want to know," and he left it at that. But I just want to urge you to, if you need to say something to someone, say it. Do, because as far as here on earth, it's our last opportunity to say that. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John. I tell you, I want to preach this so bad I can't hardly stand myself. I just want to try to keep my feet on the ground while this is going on. But I'm telling you, this is a message that you and I need desperately to make it a part of our lives. Let's stand together, and we're going to start with verse 5. We're preaching through 1 John. Now, this is not the Gospel of John. This is 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. This is 1st John. Go over to the book of Revelation. Turn back if you need to. And just right in, before you get to Jude, you'll find 1st John. 1st John 1. Guys, would you turn those lights on? I'm trying to switch over Bibles here, and this has got little print in it. And my eyes just keep getting better and better, but it's... something about this little print. No. Anyway, let's before I get started lying, let's go. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Oh, folks, this is good news. This is good news. I mean, I can hardly wait to tell you, this is such good news. And before this is over, it's going to be not just good news, it's going to be fantastic news. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Did you know he doesn't change? Did you know that he treats all of us the same? Now, this is something, I'd always felt that God thought I was a little special. Didn't that the way you felt about your parents? But did you know that God loves all of us the same way? Right. He even loves the lost. The scripture says, while I was in my sin, he loved me. I can't grab hold of that. If we say that we have fellowship with him, boy, this is strong stuff. This is deep in the well. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, he's going to get strong about what light and dark is here. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, now pay close attention. We have fellowship one with another. Now, I did very poorly in math, but I can add this up. If we're walking in the light, we're going to have fellowship with one another. If there is something wrong with our fellowship with one another, if there is something wrong with the fellowship between me and my wife, it is because one of us is not walking in the light. I keep telling her that. It's because one of us is not walking in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a great verse. If we say that we have no sin, it's always somebody else's fault. It's always because this happened or that happened. I'm not who I should be because I saw my mama kick the cat across the yard. I'm telling you, dear friend, that will not hold water. There comes a time that you're going to have to take ownership of your own sin, and I have to take ownership of my own sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I tell you, dear friend, call a spade, and if we confess our sin, here's some good stuff right here. He is faithful and just. I can't hardly wait to get to this part. He is faithful and just. He is faithful and just. You want to know the character of God? He's faithful and he is just. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What in the world do them people do with that verse that say that they are beyond sin? What do they do with that, brother?
I don't know.
My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. He's not saying, oh, you got grace, so go ahead. I'm writing it so that you sin not, because talking about how much God loves you. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now here's a big old word, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Boy, you better be glad that's in there.
Amen.
Me too. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He paid the ransom that everybody that wanted to be saved could be saved. Didn't matter what they'd done. For the whole world. You be seated. I want us to see in this passage the purpose of divine forgiveness. Why did God put this? Why divine forgiveness? Why forgiveness? I mean, he created us for the purpose of loving him and him loving us, and for us to have fellowship with him. Look back up at verse 6 and verse 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. The purpose of forgiveness is to restore fellowship. It doesn't do away with the consequences of sin. The little boy had sinned, and he talked to his daddy about it, and they prayed about it, and he asked the Lord to forgive him. And he said, "Now, Dad, what I do?" He said, "I'll tell you what to do." He said, "Take a nail and go drive it in the back door." When you get things right with God, you go pull it out. And that went on. And every time he'd get in trouble, he'd confess his sin. He'd drive a nail in the back door. And then when he'd get forgiveness, he'd go and pull it out. And that went on for a long time. And pretty soon he talked to his dad. And his dad said, "Well, go drive a nail in the back door." And he said, "Dad, I got to tell you, them nails is ruining that back door. They're making a mess of it." Well, I want to tell you, dear friend, when there is still a consequence to sin.
Amen.
There's still a consequence to that. You get drunk and drive down the road and get in a wreck and kill somebody. Kill somebody's mother. And we had a little family in our church that had happened to at Tuckerman. I'm telling you, that mother is still gone. Even if that driver gets forgiveness and gets saved, if you get in some kind of brawl and lose an arm through sin, that arm is still gone. There's still a consequence to that. There's been men and women whose families they have lost because of their own sin, then they got saved. It doesn't do away with the consequence of sin. The consequence of sin is still there. But I'm telling you, we're going to get away from the consequence and start talking about the forgiveness. I love the part of forgiveness. I think that most of us perhaps are still living with some of the consequences of our sin. In verse 5, God is light. What is that? Well, what's darkness? If you're going to define darkness, have you ever been inside a cave and someone turned out the lights? I mean, we were visiting the Harrigan Cave one time with some of our family used to own that. We got way back in there, and this guy that was doing the guide, Adalbert Younger, said, now I want you to stand real still. I'm going to turn out the lights, and I want you to see what real darkness is. He turned out the lights. And he stood there for a little while, and he said, now take your hand, put it in front of your face. I said, can you see it? Oh, you can see. I mean, it was dark. I was standing next to this great big rock about that tall. I reached over and got a hold of that rock, and it was the softest rock I had ever felt. They turned the lights back on, and I said, Mom, feel this rock. It's real soft. And she said, crazy, that's bat poop. God is light. Darkness is the absence of light. When you bring light into darkness, it flees. Just try it. You walk into your house and all can be dark, and you can flip the switch and that darkness has to flee. It's the same way in darkness in the world. Jesus said, we're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your terrible lifestyle. What does that next thing say? See your good works and glorify you. No, glorify your Father which is in heaven. Look with me over at John, the third chapter, the Gospel of John now. The third chapter of John. And look at verse 19. This is a very familiar chapter, isn't it? This is old Nick's chapter. Amen. Nicodemus. Look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Men that are living in sin, that want to continue to live in sin, stay in darkness. They're not going to pick up the Bible and try to find out what it says. Well, let me go on. Look at verse 21. I turned too quick here. Look at that verse 21 in that third chapter of John. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Okay, back over in 1 John, if we walk in the light, that is, if our manner of living, our manner of life is in the light, if we follow Jesus, I should have stayed over there. John 8. Look at it with me. Look at verse 12. John 8, look at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Verse 7 says, we have fellowship one with another. Now listen to this. You can't have fellowship with God and not have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. What else can I say? It's just what the Word says. My friend, if you're out of fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ, you're out of fellowship with God. Well, He doesn't know what they're like. Well, I'm telling you, He does. And He knows what you're like, and He knows what I'm like. And when I'm out of fellowship with you, my dear friend, it's because that my relationship with Him is not right. Why do you think that the Scripture says that when it talks about the relation between the husband and wife, and He says, make it right so that your prayers will not be hindered?
Amen.
You can't be in a fuss with your wife or your husband and be right with God. You cannot do it. Get it right. It's vertical and it's horizontal. Stephen Alford said that the reason that we don't see revival today is that we are so divided. We don't love one another. We've got to come to a place to take ownership of others in the church. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. I may not like everything that Ben Boulding does. He my brother. I can say something about him, but you sure better not.
Amen.
You understand where I'm coming from? I might criticize my wife for putting her cold feet against me in the wintertime in the bed.
Amen.
I might, but you better not criticize her for it.
That's right.
I can just see a committee coming together and saying, Miss Gwynn, we've met here and we feel like that perhaps you should not put your feet against your husband. You couldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. You know what I don't understand about that deal? When your wife puts her cold feet against you, why don't she just leave them there in that one spot?
Amen.
Stephen Alford said that we don't have revival because we do not have fellowship. And we do not love one another. We do not take ownership of others in the church as our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now look, I can't hardly wait for this. Verse 7, he said, the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. Aren't you glad that is in the Scripture? The songwriter said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stain. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in its day. You know what he's talking about. On the cross, and there may I, look at this, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, and it hadn't, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. 1 John 1 and verse 9 gives us the promise of divine forgiveness. God's divine forgiveness. Not only is it the promise of divine forgiveness, it's the promise of divine recovery and fellowship with God. If I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. It's the promise of divine recovery and fellowship with God. So there's There is a sure foundation for forgiveness. Number one, the faithfulness of God's Word. He is faithful. I'm telling you, if He said it, He'll do it. One of the little boy, Trey, that got saved this week at camp, and I was doing a little follow-up. And he and I went out and sat down in the chairs there in front of our camper. And I said, Trey, tell me what you did. And he said, I got saved. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, I just hope he heard me. I said, what? He said, I just hope he heard me. And I figured out what he was talking about. I hope God heard me. Oh, I said, son, he heard you. And we took the Word, and I went through the Word, and we went through and talked about if we would, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, oh, son, he heard you. Oh, sinner, listen to me today. He'll hear you today if you'll ask him to forgive you of your sin. You ever feel like a jerk? Well, I tell you, that's what this verse is all about. That's what this verse is all about. I can act like a jerk, can you? I can act like a jerk. God's given me a precious wife, and I can act like a jerk. I cut my nose off, spite my face. You know what this verse is about? If we confess our sin, honey, I'm sorry. I've been a jerk. Forgive me. God, I've been a jerk. Forgive me. Guess what? Does he hear you? Oh, yeah. You call a spade, friend, he hears you. You get before God and say, I really hadn't done anything all that bad, but if I've done anything, why, you know better than that. If any man says that he hasn't sinned, he's calling God a liar. He's pretty dumb, say the least. He's filled with pride. He's also a jerk. He is faithful. Secondly, we have the word of God's righteousness. He's just. Romans 3:26 says, He is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He who knew no sin. Oh, are you hearing me? Who was it that knew no sin? That's right. He who knew no sin was made sin. Ah, I can't get a hold of it. Can you get a hold of it? He who knew no sin was made sin. Everything that Lenny Younger has ever done and ever will do. Get a hold of the doctrine here. Everything that Lenny Younger has ever done or ever will do. Oh, now wait a minute, Lenny. You hadn't confessed it yet, so you hadn't been forgiven until you've confessed it. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Amen. You mean to tell me that you could believe that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You looked at some pornography. and you got in the car and headed down the road and hit a semi head on and you died, are you going to heaven or hell? Get your doctrine right here, folks. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all unrighteousness. It doesn't mean that he gives us a license to sin. That's not what he's talking about. There's some folks teaching that if you did not confess it, you'll go to hell. They don't know what the Bible teaches. Get your doctrine straight. I tell you, you'd be jumping trees if you get it straight. Because it is good when it's straight. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any better than his forgiveness. Woo! It doesn't get any better, church, than his forgiveness. Amen. Think about it. Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. Wow. That's the greatest doctrine in Scripture. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. He who knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm not trying to give you a license to sin or myself a license to sin. I'm telling you that his grace is greater than our sin. I'd have a problem if you sin couldn't get before the Lord with it. That's not what I'm talking about. We have a sure provision for forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all wrong. In Leviticus 16, verse 21, it says that it's sent away. You know the story? The priest took the blood of the little lamb and he put it on the head of the scapegoat, sent it out into the desert, sent it away. It was figurative of sending our sin away. He sends our sins to a place of no remembrance. In Isaiah 38 and verse 17, he has cast all our sins behind his back. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, he will forgive our iniquity and our sin. He will remember no more. Now, I got studying on that verse and I thought, now how in the world can that be? I remember sins I committed in the sixth grade, do you? But here, God says that he does not, he's God, he can do whatever he wants to. He's God, and if he chooses not to remember, he can. I want to tell you who remembers your sin. You do. Now you don't have to. I mean, you need, you can get that, you can confess that, and then you need to forsake that. But when you confess it to the Lord, I mean honestly. And I don't think there's any confession in whenever you knew the first time you got out the door you was going to do it again. I don't think there's any honest confession in that. I think we know and God knows. I mean, but when we honestly confess it and we're sorry for our sin, we confess it and forsake it, He forgives us. That doesn't mean that if you ever commit a sin twice, so there's not that. That's not what that means. That's not what that means at all. But he forgives you. And you remember it because the devil keeps bringing it up to you. The devil remembers it. Now you don't have to stay on that merry-go-round, folks. We just accept what the Word of God says. You don't have to stay on that merry-go-round. Just accept his forgiveness. Just accept it. and enjoy it. He sends our sins to a place of no recovery. In Micah 7 and verse 19, the Bible says, we'll cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. A place of no recovery. He sends our sins to a place of no return. Psalms 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west. You start east, you'll always be headed east. If you stay on course, you'll always be headed east. You head west, if you stay on course, you'll always be headed west. You're not going to go east and all at once, if you stay on course, all at once you come to a place you're going west. That's not going to happen. So as far as the east is from the west, he puts our sin as far as the east is from the west. And he puts it away from him. And he accepts for us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin, he who knew no sin, became sin for us. You know what that means? He took my place on the cross. If I say, Lord, I don't know how you could forgive me of that. How can a man be forgiven of that? He became sin for me. He took my sin to the cross. You see? You see? Isn't it a wonderful place to be? To be forgiven? To be forgiven? Now, if I had some candy, Brother Matt, I'd say, now, what have we learned? He's light, right? And in him is no darkness at all. If I'm holding something against this sweet lady because she burnt the biscuits back in 1969, a darkness there. I want to tell you something, church. If you're holding something against someone, whether in the church or out of the church, there's darkness there. You better get forgiving so that you can be forgiven. There's no darkness at all. And the one that walks in the light has fellowship with him. Do you know what breaks fellowship with him? Sin. Do you know what breaks fellowship between me and my wife? Sin. Let's stand together.